Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
In much less detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Here are your hosts, Jay and Dre.
Well, it's not an NFL breakdown, but y'all know what time it is. It's time for Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Here with you live on a Monday night, April the 2nd, 2018. I'm Dre, he's Jay. We've got another preview of WrestleMania. This was the 34th WrestleMania that's coming up this coming Sunday, April the 8th, live from New Orleans. And we got some deja vu. If you've seen this movie before, with Roman Reigns confronting Brock Lesnar at the end of the show and making everyone seem like he's going to be the big hero and conquer the beast, they're trying it again. We're going to try it one more time. I don't know how it's going to turn out this time. We don't have Seth Rollins available to come down with the Money in the Bank briefcase and save the show, but we'll see how it breaks down this time. Jason is here. Our wrestling expert, Jerry, is in the house. He's on the phone. Always glad to have Jerry with us. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good. Ready to go. I usually take a little more of a back seat during this show, so I'll be here with my my pithy commentary and a couple of things that I noticed during the show, and I had a little hour gap in the middle of the show, so that was my drive home from work, and got a little dicier the closer I got home. Roads are getting a little slick. We got a snowstorm coming, and yeah, snowstorm. I did say snowstorm. Jerry's here too. So yeah, no. Yeah, it was 7 to 11 inches of snow forecast here for the two biggest snowstorms we'll have had here in central Wisconsin will have been within the last 4 days.
I don't know how you people live up there.
Pretty amazing, but it's good. School's already canceled, so I've been doing some online, doing some online stuff here trying to fill in the gaps of what I missed, and not much. So let you guys take it away.
Oh man, I really don't know what's going on up in the northern parts of the country and all the snow and everything. But I'm very glad for both of you guys to be here despite the conditions, especially you, Jason, driving home in that crap right before the show is a sacrifice that you guys are making, and we all appreciate it. Trust me. Jerry, how you doing, man? I saw on Facebook you went and had a family vacation down in Disney, so the family's doing pretty good.
Thanks for having me back. Yeah, we had all relaxed and 70-degree weather to come back to this.
Oh, sorry. That's all I can say. Sorry about that. So your impressions of the go-home Raw tonight as we once again get ready for WrestleMania with Brock Lesnar against Roman Reigns, it's deja vu to all of us. Anything different from last time to this time? Anything stand out that makes it seem like there's going to be less of a disaster possibly at this WrestleMania than there was at the last one?
Well, it's been, 5 years?
That sounds about right. Was it 2013?
You've been doing this that long?
Indeed.
Oh my God. I don't know. I thought it was like 2 years ago.
You know, what I've been reading is, Brock Lesnar's contract is up and they're going to pass the ball. They're going to pass the ball, and it just seems really predictable. And I think that's what made it delightful last time when he cashed in the Money in the Bank. And it was kind of like he kind of saved the day, and it was quite exciting to see. And I don't know what they're going to – I don't even know if they should go on last.
Wow. It might not with Daniel Bryan coming back. They might save that for last. But, yeah, Jason, you called it last time 5 long years ago. that Roman and Brock were going to be such a disaster. They're going to have to bring out Seth Rollins with the briefcase, and that's exactly what happened. They don't even have that option this time.
Well, you know what I noticed was this time was what felt different was that people were actually cheering for Roman Reigns. So I'm going to say that that's the WWE equivalent of Stockholm Syndrome. That they've just tortured people with Roman Reigns for so long. People now apparently love him, or am I reading that wrong? Now people cheer for him, and they used to boo and mock him and laugh at him. And he actually held the mic a little bit tonight. So I don't know if he's getting coached up. But I thought Roman Reigns was a joke, and here he is out there headlining WrestleMania again in a match that we've already seen. But this time it seems like that the tide, from what I could read from the reactions in the crowd, is that the tide has turned for him a little.
Well, what you've missed, and Jerry can fill you in on this as well, Jason, is the last couple of months, basically, the last couple of months, they really worked hard to try to paint Roman Reigns as like not just a good guy, not just the guy you should root for, but like the moral equivalent of who you absolutely have to choose. They've been putting Brock Lesnar in the worst light. He's been having matches around the country that last like 30 seconds, and he just wins the match and gets out of there. They paint him as a part-timer. They had a bait and switch a few times where they said he was going to be on Raw to confront Roman Reigns, and he didn't show up. So they've really gone out of their way to make Brock Lesnar look like the biggest tool in the world and try to get Roman Reigns cheered. And it's kind of worked. So kudos to them for that. It wasn't working the last few weeks before that, though. He was still getting booed pretty heavily. So it looked like it was backfiring a little bit. But tonight it did look a little better for him.
The WrestleMania people that show up, though, are a different breed.
Oh, yeah.
And if they're going to boo him out of the building, absolutely boo him out of the building. And then the Monday Night Raw after.
Oh.
It's going to get ugly.
Well, since we're talking about that match specifically, so the vibe I've kind of heard here is it sort of expected for Roman Reigns to win here?
So what Paul Heyman said, right? Fait accompli.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like been the thought of what they've been doing all year. Again, I have no connection to them whatsoever, but, you know, just watching every WrestleMania and things, nothing, Drake and, you know, nothing is really, well, even you, nothing's really new. They kind of, you know, you'll see something saying, oh, they're doing a Hogan, Randy Savage, 88 all over again, you know, or something.
No, it does look like it's going to be the only thing I can come up with. And it's not even my original idea. I've seen people, wrestling columnists bring this up, on the internet plenty of times. I've seen it in different places. The only thing they could do might be a little fresh, might be a little, exciting and a little bit of a change is they could have Paul Heyman decide that I'm going to switch horses, and he makes the interference and helps Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar, and he turns on Brock Lesnar, and Roman Reigns will then definitely guaranteed become the bad guy and the heel, but at least he'll have the mouthpiece that can help him be an effective heel, not just a guy that's getting booed because people think he sucks. So that's the only thing for me to look for that might be a little different is Paul might turn on Brock and help Roman win. But other than that, if they don't do that, I don't see any other way it could go except for Roman to go over Brock Lesnar, because to have Brock go through all this and beat Roman again, that would just be the total burial of Roman Reigns. And I don't think Vince McMahon is ready to do that.
No, they put too much into him. So that actually would make sense. Something they did years ago with the Big Show, if you recall.
Yeah, I really had forgotten about it too, Jerry. It's funny, I'm just watching old like YouTubes, and this was like 3-4 months ago that I just happened to come across the time that Paul Heyman turned on Brock Lesnar and went with the Big Show. I completely forgotten about that. But yeah, they have done it, and it's long enough ago that like 99% of the crowd won't remember that it's been done. So it might be about time to do something like that. Otherwise, I don't know what other direction they could go.
It could be, you know, that how that could play out would be quite entertaining.
You know, Roman being forced over Brock again, it looked like it was, like I said, the last month or so, they were building up to trying to make Roman look like the greatest guy and make Brock Lesnar look like a total turd. And it wasn't really, to me, it wasn't really working. I don't know if you feel the same, Jerry, but it looked like what WWE was managing to do was make Brock Lesnar look bad and knock some of the shine off of what might be their biggest attraction right now. They were succeeding in making Brock, you know, kind of look bad, and still Roman was still getting booed and still getting hated. So it wasn't really accomplishing what they wanted. They weren't getting Roman any more love. They were just making Brock look a little worse than he had to look. But like Jason said, tonight it looked a little different. It did look like the crowd was finally warming up to Roman Reigns and cheering for Roman Reigns. But the last few weeks, I don't know if it was really working for him.
They're trying everything. I mean, if you recall back when Triple H and John Cena were WrestleMania, where the crowd was supposed to hate Triple H and they were hating on John Cena, so then Triple H was doing the whole, I think even the announcer started saying, well, Triple H is represents established wrestling community that support him, and John Cena is that new, and that was years ago, but that didn't work either. But, you know, and a common thing you hear back when John Cena and The Rock would be that whole part-time wrestler, and you're going to go take off. Even Shawn Michaels and Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam years ago, where they'll use that, they'll kind of use that to get the hardcore wrestling fans on board. In the end, I still don't know if it'll be enough, but a turn with Paul Heyman could actually be, I mean, every podcast I've listened to, you know, former wrestlers would be talking about, you know, the best thing for Roman Reigns right now is to turn heel and he'd get, make a heat, and eventually he'd have a monster babyface turn. And just for whatever reason, and they went through the same thing with John Cena for years, where it's like they just resist, or they don't want to turn these guys and kind of follow what the crowd kind of wants.
Yeah, they really do hate it when they pretend like they love it when the crowd tells them what they want. Hey, we're doing this for the fans. The WWE Universe tells us what we have to do. We listen to the fans. They don't really listen to the fans. That's a cute line to throw out there, but they don't actually like it when the fans are dictating. They resisted with Daniel Bryan for the longest, putting him at the top because they didn't like him. They didn't want him up there, but eventually they relented with that. But yeah, it's funny you bring up the Triple H John Cena match. That WrestleMania, I will never forget. That's one of my favorite matches to watch. It was in Chicago. That entire card was almost like the start of what they call Bizarro World, where the crowd is cheering the bad guys and booing the good people. That was the same WrestleMania that Mickey James went over Trish Stratus for the women's title. And Trish had never really gotten booed too much as a babyface, but Mickie James was so out there with her original character, sort of a stalking, you know, quasi-lesbo lover type deal. And the Chicago crowd was ready for something crazy and different, and they ate it up. And they cheered Mickie James like crazy and booed Trish Stratus. And when Mickie won and went over, they went crazy. And Cena was just getting booed out of the building, and Triple H was over huge for that main event. And I still remember them erupting in a "fuck you, Cena" chant at one point. And it was like, it's the look on Cena's face when that chant started. It was almost like someone killed his dog right in front of him. He looked so hurt because he had been working so hard and trying to be accepted, but it just wasn't meant to be. But it's something like that. What's been happening with Roman Reigns the last couple of years, like the harder he works and the more he tries, the more people crap on him. Jason, you commented that he took the stick a little bit tonight and said a couple of lines. It's still nothing compared to what a top guy is supposed to be able to do on the microphone. They still really trust him to say much.
Yeah. If this whole WWE thing doesn't work out for Roman Reigns, he has a, he has a favorable career in porn. That's about the level of his line delivery.
Yeah. Now, didn't Roman Reigns last year have a wellness policy violation?
He sure did.
What is a wellness policy violation?
Oh, a wellness policy violation is where you are on any kind of medication and do not have proper prescription from your doctor.
Ah.
So I think that, okay. I don't know exactly what it was, but typically, Dre, is it Adderall that they're usually getting caught with?
Yeah, and it's so hilarious. Look at the size and the physique of these guys and the thing that you get busted for a drug violation, and it's like one or two every year at the most. And you look at these guys like, oh, really? That's all?
NyQuil. He was on NyQuil.
John Cena's never been busted for a wellness violation. Okay, sure. Whatever you say. Triple H has never been busted for a wellness violation. Okay. So you can believe as far as you want to believe that, but
the wellness policy is to, they put it out publicly. They'll use their real name if they have a, you know, stage name, and they'll put it all out there. But what's really interesting was when Brock Lesnar failed his for UFC, their thing was, well, you know, he failed there and he's not full time, and they're like, oh, they totally have a violation. If you're,
it's not
that.
For part-timers. It's only for our full-time guys. So Brock Lesnar's completely exempt.
He can do whatever he wants.
Right there, I was like, you are kidding me.
I mean, we all knew it was a joke anyway, but that just reinforced it. I think the Roman Reigns suspension came at a time that it felt like it was sort of a punishment for him anyway, like they were sending him a message. Like, you know, you need to shape up and really start pulling your weight. So I think they use those suspensions as a way of sending messages. It's not legit. It's, first of all, it's pro wrestling. So who would really believe a legit drug policy in pro wrestling anyway? And something where the matches are fixed, but our testing is real. You can believe that. Come on. So, yeah, I think everyone pretty much thinks that's a joke anyway.
Yeah, I think they really are watching for the real harmful ones where, you know, they just don't want to have any more situations where people are just going down that path of destruction, self-destruction, and that's really plagued the industry since time immemorial.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're trying to avoid the next Benoit, basically.
Well, you can't say that. I thought he was like, you know, he's like, isn't he like
he
the Lord Voldemort of, yes, he's the Lord Voldemort of the WWE. We do not mention him.
Well, we can say it all we want because WWE doesn't pay us shit. So we can say it. No. We can say his name all we want.
That's true. Made me realize at the open of the show, you're going to have to get the handy dandy voiceover effect and just give us a proper Kings of Non Sequitur entrance there, because all of a sudden I'm like, NFL recap, NFL. Yeah.
You're saying I gotta do work now. I gotta produce a second open. Oh my god.
You might have to. Yeah. Oh, you might have to get on the MC there and dub yourself over the theme, you know, and give us a proper Kings of Non Sequitur entrance.
I'll have to lift a finger to do that. Okay, I guess I can do that.
Yeah, just a couple mouse clicks, I'm pretty sure. And your voice.
Jay, that was that the Bailey and Sonya Deville match that you were saying the slowest slow bow that you had ever seen?
I have it on at work, which is bad enough that I actually am at work, and I was like, well, got 7 o'clock. It was dead. You know, it was starting to snow. There was very few people in the store. I didn't think anybody would mind. I switched it over to USA, and one of the guys I work with stepped over and points at me, like, we're watching wrestling? And I'm like, don't ask. You know? And it's this girls' match, and it, right as soon as I texted you, so it was the match that was going on while we were texting, and I saw what I called the worst Slobo, you know, because that was always the girls and Jericho patented the Slobo, which is the like try to punch somebody with your elbow, but you're just like so you're so slow. But at one point, one of the girls gets thrown into the rope and she rebounds, and the angle's looking straight up the ring at him. So you're on deadline with this action, and you see the woman, and she's standing there. And she's waiting to deliver the elbow, and she's like perfectly on line with this girl's face, and then her arm just kind of like hooks up into midair to let the girl duck and run under her arm, and then as soon as she clears, she drops the elbow back to where it was, and it was so bad. I mean, me and the guy that was standing there by me when I had this on just busted up laughing at the same time because it was so bad. That's why I texted you. I was like, oh my God, is this what I'm gonna have to watch all night?
Well, they can't all be superstars, I guess. Well, they're supposed to be superstars, but yeah.
You know, the one thing just in the past 5 years that's killing me is how when during a match, everything, the camera work is great. And then magically, when there's illegal beatdown happening, the cameramen all lose control of the zooms on their camera.
It's amazing how that works. All of a sudden, the camera just starts zooming in and out like manically, and it's like, why is this happening? What's going on?
It's actually instinct to the punches and kicks if you watch. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I think I'm not sure, but I thought it started with the Shield when they first got together. I thought that's where it started. And I'm like, could somebody talk to Kevin Dunn and maybe stop that?
It's never gonna stop. That's Kevin Dunn's baby. The overproduced. Cameras zoom in and out upon impact of every blow is supposed to signal chaos happening, and it just gives you a headache. I'm with you completely, Jerry. I wish it would stop, but it's never going to stop.
Well, I will say as well, catching the go ahead.
I think I stopped keeping track of how many times we pointed at the sign tonight.
Oh, about 400.
I stopped at like 23, pointing at the WrestleMania sign. I'm like, my God.
And the funniest is when Daniel Bryan announces his comeback, and everyone is pointing at the sign for him. They're waiting for him to point to the sign for when he's going to make his official comeback. It's this poignant moment. He's choking up, talking about how important it was that his wife was near him and kept encouraging him and telling him, fight for your dreams, because then your dreams will fight for you. And everyone is like, okay, whatever. And they're all just pointing up at the sign. Like, okay, get on with it. Just point to the sign. We know what's coming. Just point to the sign. It's really its own thing now, is the pointing at the sign. That's more over than some of these wrestlers.
Well, you know what really stands out to me is Brian, not the biggest guy. And, and being gone for, he looks little from what I remembered. He doesn't look as buff as he was before, and he's not the biggest guy to begin with.
Right. Well, is he one of the vegans, Jerry? Or I'm pretty sure he is. I know Austin Aries is, but I think Brian is too. So he's always going to be slim. He's never going to be overly, jacked or whatever, but. Yeah, he's probably lost some muscle mass. He probably wasn't working out quite as much as he was back when he was on top. So, but I guess it remains to be seen just how he's going to look when he finally comes back full time. But that little bit of action that he had with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, he was going all out, man. It was scary. He was just throwing himself at them like, dude, you just got cleared. What are you doing? And then he takes the power bomb off the apron. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly who he is. He's going to go 100% no matter what. Jason, you didn't see this because it was on the other show on SmackDown, but he announces his comeback, and then later on in the night, he got attacked by these two guys who are like throwing him around like he's a rag doll, and they had to stretcher him out, storyline, of course. But it's like, dude, you just got over 3 years of trying to convince all these doctors that you're okay, and you're going to immediately go back to throwing yourself through the air like with no abandon at all. It's great to see him in action again, but it's also kind of got my heart in my throat a little bit, like, oh God, I don't want to see this guy get concussed again right before my eyes.
So was that so was that his injury? Was that head injuries?
Yeah, they wouldn't. WWE doctors wouldn't clear him off of a bunch of concussions that he had when he first won the title like 3 years ago.
Oh man, he's like Justin Marneau.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it came out that he was kind of keeping it to himself, but he was having seizures.
Right. It wasn't just concussions. He was like having seizures in front of his wife and stuff. It was
okay,
real serious.
Then. Yeah, that's not good.
But he got cleared. No, it's not. But he finally got cleared. He's all good now.
Well, his contract is up this year. So I think they knew that if they didn't eventually, because he had all these clearance from doctors, but the WWE doctors weren't going to clear him. And I think it came down to, we're going to lose this guy. He's going to go wrestle somewhere else, or we're going to have to clear him. I think that's what it came down to.
Well, but here's the thing, though. So we talk about people and their contracts being up. So they don't want to lose somebody because his contract is up. Where is he going to go? I mean, well, WWE's not everybody.
That's right, what they're afraid of. He might go somewhere that hasn't been bought and make them a major contender.
Okay.
Yeah, right now, that's where Cody Rhodes has gone, is Japan, and he's doing really well. There are wrestlers actually making good money. Even Jericho just did Japan's big version of WrestleMania, Wrestle Kingdom. He headlined that against the guy that I can't believe hasn't signed yet. I think he was in a camp at one time with WWE but never signed, was the cleaner.
Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega. And so there's money to be made in Japan. And Daniel Bryan's size, I think he could do very well there. I'm not sure he wants to travel there, but now Japan's been coming here to do shows. So they're really, it's something where, and their voiceover for the commentary is actually Jim Ross and another, I can't remember who his partner was, but Jim Ross is actually doing some of the commentary for that.
Huh.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing that WWE could be afraid of, in my opinion, Jason, is not that someone is going to have some great idea, some promoter is going to have some great, incredible idea, and that's going to be the new competitor to WWE. I think it's going to be more like what Cody Rhodes is trying to do. It's going to be some talent, some wrestler that gets thrown aside by WWE who goes and becomes a big star somewhere else and sort of rises them up.
This would be for someone who's the non-wrestling fan's analogy. This would sort of be like what's going on right now with ESPN and Fox Sports.
Right. Fox Sports is taking all the ESPN casts off.
They're siphoning away the talent.
Hoping that they catch fire and make Fox Sports something that people want to go watch, which is never going to happen because the people that they're bringing on are terrible. But that's a pretty good analogy. That's decent.
Yeah. You know. Well, so the other takeaway I had tonight was I had to watch. I watched the majority of the first and last hour of the show. I saw a whole lot, way more women's wrestling than I expected to. That was the bulk of the bookend hours there in that first and third hour. It was mostly women's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of it. I mean, so I was surprised by the volume of it.
Yeah, I personally enjoy the women's wrestling now. I mean, especially like Sasha Banks and Charlotte and you know, I got to talk about Ronda Rousey for a second. I mean, when I found out, you know, she was coming aboard, I was like, well, this will be interesting. I expected her to be like the male Brock Lesnar. And she comes out at the end of the Royal Rumble. The main event, Jason, of the Royal Rumble was the women's Royal Rumble, which is actually quite awesome that they ended it with that. And there's the Asuka was the winner. It was great. And all of a sudden she comes out and kind of takes the wind out of everyone's sails. But like she comes out smiling with a oversized leather jacket on, waving, and I'm like, all right, this isn't really badass. And then her music is like, are you kidding me? It was like, I just expected like her to come out all badass and everything, and it just didn't go over as well as I thought it could have. And that's just my opinion, I guess, about her there now.
It's a weird fit, that's for sure. They're using a Bad Reputation by Joan Jett as her theme music. And it's a little dissonant because it's really like up-tempo and so, almost sounds like a party rock song. It's supposed to convey, you know, some toughness because it's a girl singing rock. So there's that, but it's not really the right girl singing rock song for Ronda Rousey to come out to. And her facials definitely don't match her reputation at all, because she seems right now to be just thrilled to be there. And that's not what you really want. You want her to be, you know, angry and pissed off. That's what her brand was that she's the girl that will break your arm and tear it off your body and beat you with it. And like Jerry said, when she comes out smiling and waving and with red eyeliner and just the, I don't know where they're trying to go with her right now, but it's clear that they don't really trust her to be herself at the moment. And it's going to be a real slow bring along to bring her to where they sort of let her go and do what she wants to do and be who she wants to be. Because right now, what little bit they trust her with on the microphone, it's bad. She can't get the right tone. She can't strike the right tone between happy to be there and pissed off and I'm going to beat your ass. She kind of switches back and forth between them right now. And it's like, she can't really get it right. When she's supposed to be angry and when she's supposed to be happy. It's going to be a work in progress. It's going to be a long work in progress with her.
So we're finding out why UFC fighters don't give soliloquies before their matches right now.
And the ones that do is basically just like profane spitting. Like, I'm going to fuck you up. That's about all they can do.
What I would do to see Conor McGregor in WWE would be unbelievable, though.
Right, but that's because he's ripping off Ric Flair. So,
well, I'm just saying he can trash talk and everything. I think it would be a great fit. Great fit.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. He actually knows how to talk and that actually knows how to get over what he's trying to get over and make himself hated and make the fans like him when he wants to. Yeah, it's an art. It really is. And it's backed up by how many guys in wrestling right now can't do that. That used to be the bread and butter to be a pro wrestler. It wasn't just in the ring. It's you had to get on a microphone and make people believe that you are who you portrayed as well. And so many of these guys can't do that right now. It's hilarious.
Commentators outside of WWE talk about, like, some of these guys are afraid to, they're almost afraid to get that heat. Like, they almost want to be liked. Even as a bad guy, they want to be like that. They don't want to be the bad guy that gets heat, actually. They want to be the bad guy that's cool. And that's still a baby face, though. So they got to, you know, they're just afraid to get that heat to be disliked.
Yeah, everybody wants to be NWO. They all can't do that, though.
Everyone wants to be the anti-hero now. That's the big trend.
Right. Everybody wants to be the guy that's doing terrible things and getting love for it. Like, yeah, look how terrible I am. Yeah. So, yeah, the anti-hero, like you say. So you saw that opening segment, Jason, with Rousey and Kurt Angle and Triple H and Stephanie. It's excellent, the job that Triple H and Stephanie McMahon are doing to make Ronda Rousey seem sympathetic, because like Jerry was describing, she's not all that sympathetic at the moment. She's so bubbly and happy / boo-boo face angry. It's like, you know, you don't really know what to think of her. And so it's up to the people working against
boo-boo,
her.
Boo-boo face angry?
That's what it's when she tries to look. That, so
I think
angry.
Of my daughter. My daughter gets boo-boo faced angry.
That's what she looks like. When she tries to get mad, like she gets the brow goes down and the mouth gets all scrunched up like, I'm mad now. Like, come on.
I came in right at the very end, tail end of that segment. So that was, I caught just a lot of the staring down of Stephanie and all the, you know, and I was like, oh God, more of this. Like, that's literally the first thing I did was just chick wrestling for the rest of that hour. But that like more, it's so much more of the same. And it feels like if there's a theme in all of these shows that we've been doing for as long as we've been doing this podcast and having Jerry on, it's the biggest complaint is always seems like it's just the same. It's the same thing. You could almost script the show now of what is the way it's going to end. And you're going to like, they got, you know, the two guys are going to come out right at the end and they're going to fight and everyone's going to point at the stupid sign. And it's like just the beat, the drum beat. And there's very little unpredictability in the show anymore. So that, I'm looking for things like that. And it's just not there.
And it's also Jerry is whoever gets the upper hand on that go home Raw is the entity that's usually going to lose the match at WrestleMania. Right. Cause we see this time Stephanie manages to put Ronda Rousey through a table with just the worst looking throw you ever seen. I don't know what that was supposed to be. So that means obviously Ronda and Kurt Angle are going to win at WrestleMania. It's, that part of it is very predictable.
Oh yeah. And like, so when Seth Rollins got the win over Finn Balor, I'm like, well, Seth just lost WrestleMania.
Yeah, there's no chance he's winning the title at WrestleMania now, the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, that does happen a lot. Like, whoever wins on Raw, the night, like, the, you know, whoever wins on the Raw or the big show before WrestleMania, the opposite will happen at WrestleMania. You could almost go to Vegas with that.
Did you hear some of the commentary on that Rollins and Balor match, Jerry, speaking of the Intercontinental three-way match, The Miz on commentary, I think that was a little bit of a spoiler giveaway as well. The Miz talking about how happy he was to be a father and she's the love of my life and I'm a changed man and this, that, and the other. I think that sets up for The Miz to go over by cheating at WrestleMania. That he tries to play it straight for most of the match and like he's he really is the changed man, and then the moment that he gets the opportunity, he pulls out an object or the Miztourage runs down and helps him or something. And he winds up retaining the title by cheating. I think that was what that was a setup for, but either way, I agree with you. The one thing we know that's not going to happen is Seth Rollins is not going to win the Intercontinental title.
Yeah. And he could easily let them beat each other senseless and just wait, lay in the weeds and then sneak in for the quick pin and steal, you know, steal one.
Yeah, that's possible as well. That would definitely be a bad guy move, is to just stand outside the ring and keep breaking up their pin attempts and not try to fight anybody at all. So that was an actual wrestling match in the middle of all that, Jason. The 30 minutes that Seth Rollins and Finn Balor.
I did catch some of that one.
Yeah.
The whole time I'm thinking to myself, do not hurt each other. Not right. With a week, less than a week to WrestleMania, because it was these guys were really going at it, and it was a great match. And I was,
yeah, it was the
pay-per-view quality match. And yeah. I was like, don't hurt each other.
Yeah, it was the best of the wrestling technically that I saw, especially after watching an hour of the women's wrestling, which is just it's just so you know, and I'm not even. I'm not someone who, you know, goes all in on all the technical sides of it. But when I can see it's bad wrestling, that's bad.
Yeah, I agree. But the only way they're going to get better is to keep sitting him out there, I guess. So we're going to have to put up with more of it. But, you know,
I had to watch a 10-minute thing about Asuka. And I'm glad I did, because I'd never heard of her.
Well, good. They introduced you to her. They did. You were silent.
And then the fluff piece with the like the in-depth interview with Nia Jax talking about the fake crying, and it was like they were doing this 60-minute sit-down, and it was very distracting because the girl who was interviewing her was like clearly busting out of her shirt.
You're not supposed to notice that part.
I didn't know what you're talking about.
You're not supposed to notice.
I'm not supposed to notice that?
Renee Young just sitting there with her boobs all out for everybody. So you're not supposed to notice that part.
It was funny because it was being portrayed as this, like I said, like 60 minute style thing, and it's so on the level, and you got this chick. They're doing the interview with these just massive fake melons, and it's just like, oh my God.
You don't know how Diane Sawyer does her interviews. She may have been doing all her 60-minute interviews like that. You don't know that. That just might be how they do their interviews. Come on.
And then they cut back to Nia Jackson, and she's just like, bah, 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 and then cut back to this other chick, and it's like, pow! And it's like, come on. It's just taking me completely out of the drama.
This is why we love having you watch that Raw and come in with your, because that's not something Jerry and I would have noticed, because we're just used to Renee Young sitting there with her boobs out all the time. It's just, we're used to it. I swear, it's not new to us at all.
She's our Diane Sawyer now. Damn it.
I guess so. She's Barbara Walters. If Barbara Walters had triple D cup boobs falling out of her shirt.
It won't surprise you, Jason, to learn that she's married to a wrestler, by the way. So
no.
Yeah. But anyway. You have noticed correctly a big increase in women's wrestling sort of taking over the show. They've had different Raws get ended with the main event being a women's match over the past year. There's really been a shift to giving the women more and more of a serious role. This storyline with Nia Jax, they've put her through the ringer, man. The last few weeks, they had the champion Alexa Bliss. They had her get caught in a secret camera talking bad about Nia Jax and calling her a pig and all sorts of names. And they made Nia Jax stand in the middle of the ring and start literally crying, like crocodile tears falling down her face. And they really made her go through a lot in the last month or so to build this match up. All I can say is I really hope they reward her by having her win the title at WrestleMania for all the shit they put her through.
Yeah, or they're going to dump a bunch of pig's blood on her and she'll kill everyone in the stadium.
It's WWE.
That's a Carrie reference.
Well, she is, I believe she is related. I think she's related to The Rock.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, all the Samoans are related. If you
except
listen
for
to
Samoa Joe. Everyone's related to except for Samoa Joe. Everyone's related to The Rock.
That's funny. The one guy that's got Samoa in his name is from Huntington Beach, California. So
I was about to say
exactly.
He's got to be from Brooklyn or something like that. Yeah, that's the way it works out, you know.
Exactly. But yeah, I think she is a distant relative of The Rock, and yeah, I'm sure they'll have her go over for everything she's done. But you got her. You got the Asuka against Charlotte Flair for the other women's title, for the SmackDown title. And then you have Ronda Rousey in the mixed tag. And then you have a women's battle royal on top of that. The first year they're going to have a women's battle royal. So definitely a big move to try to get more women involved, try to I'm being cynical, Jason, but maybe trying to avoid some, you know, Me Too type of movements or
honestly, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
Well, they made a big mistake. They named the award, the original name of the trophy was going to be the Fabulous Moolah Memorial Battle Royal. And they got such backlash because of Moolah's past. They kind of scrubbed her away where they don't talk about her anymore. And Snickers stepped the sponsor. And then all of a sudden, magically, the name went away real quietly. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, definitely. I definitely wanted to address that, Jason, not to give a whole long history lesson, but the Battle Royal was initially, like Jerry said, named the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal. And then all these people that know Fabulous Moolah's history in wrestling started saying, that's not the role model for women that you really want to name a Battle Royal after. Fabulous Moolah, among many other things, got accused of child abuse. In her past, she got accused of financially and emotionally abusing the wrestlers that she was training. She buried a lot of the female wrestlers around her to put herself over. And the most insidious thing I had heard was some females that were trained by Moolah insinuated that Moolah had them pimped out to other promoters when they went to different towns. One of them said that when you heard a knock on the hotel door at 3 a.m, you knew, just get undressed. You knew what was about to go down. Just get undressed and get ready because you know what's about to happen. So to say that she's not the person you want to name a women's battle royal after, to say the least, that was an understatement. So, yeah, like Jerry says, Snickers, people went after the sponsor of WrestleMania, which is Snickers, the main sponsor. And Snickers is the one that got WWE to back down and take the Moolah name off of the Battle Royal. So now it's just the WrestleMania Battle Royal. And I definitely was going to ask about that. Gary, you think is that cool or no for fans to get Snickers to pressure WWE into canceling the Moolah Battle Royal? That's sort of a new thing that when you have a problem with what something that a company does, you immediately try to go after the sponsors and try to get action that way. So what did you think of all that?
Well, Snickers doesn't even know who Moolah was. So somebody,
right.
You know, they obviously did their research then when they were hearing this. And there's enough out there. I mean, there's victims who are alive now that wrote books. And, you know, it was something that, you know, it's beyond legend, urban myth now. And it's a real touchy one. And, you know, even when I heard Dan Verde announced it before any backlash, I went right away. I was like, because when they had they actually had for the network, they had a women's tournament called the Mae Young Classic. And there were people wondering why they didn't call it the Moolah Classic. And I was like, well, obviously, a lot of people weren't in the know. And then they turned around and did that. It is, I think what really hurt was not, that was bad enough. But then when they got her, you know, all the wrestlers have a Twitter account that WWE kind of tells them what I'm sure that every now and then they can post their own stuff, but WWE will tell them to do stuff. And when they first announced the name of the Battle Royal, all these women wrestlers are posting about, oh, it's such an honor with Moolah. And you know that they're being told to do that. It's a PR move. But the worst part is, like, they're being told to do it. It's like, either some of them didn't know, or if they did know, they probably, you know, being told, this is what we want you to put. So everything got swept under the rug. And it's just like, ugh. So, you know, some of these own women were signing off on it, like, the women wrestlers were signing off on this by having to put a tweet out there about it. I was like, oof, it just made it even worse.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask, is that the same Mae Young that gave birth to a rubber hand?
One and the only.
And in response to this whole segment here,
always.
It's all about the money.
And the goodwill that comes along with with portraying the women as equal to the men, and then you get the sponsor involved and it's all about the money. Oh, wait, gotta get rid of that name now. What name? Fabulous Moolah? Who's that? I don't know who that is. What are you talking about? I don't know what you mean.
Well, it's like next year they're gonna have a ladder match tournament called the Chris Benoit Classic. I mean, what the hell?
Oh,
too soon.
Definitely can't have that one. Woo. But yeah, we talked a lot about it in the last few months ever since the Hollywood
thing. I think we have to give away for the first time ever, someone else other than you or I on the show. Has to get that.
He earned it. You did that one, Jerry. You earned that one. I don't know what's up with our soundboard, by the way. Everything's coming in halfway, but you know,
there's a delay tonight. At least we're all on the show. Minor victories here.
Well, that reminds me to ask you, Jerry, what happened with coming in through the computer? Did that link not work? Because we've had problems with that.
Yeah, I think I had the same problem last year, and I don't know if it's because I have a Mac. I'm not sure.
I think so. I think it is. It does specifically talk about the Google Chrome or Mozilla.
Right.
I used to do the show on
a MacBook. I used to do the show exclusively on a MacBook, but I had to do it through the Chrome browser. It wouldn't work through Safari. So if you try to log in at all through the Safari browser, forget it.
Yeah. No Safari love? Okay.
Nope.
No Safari love. But I mean, if I had both browsers on my MacBook, and I actually had the Chrome browser on my MacBook basically just for our show, because otherwise I couldn't have done pretty much the show at all. Now I'm in the basement here with my recording studio and all my massive screen of all my info here. So I like my setup a lot better now, and sound quality is a lot better since the move, so I'm all for that.
Yeah, definitely. I have a theory on what's going to be happening as far as John Cena calling out The Undertaker repeatedly and getting no answers. So I'll let you say what you think is going to happen first, Jerry, because I'm guessing we're probably going to say something close to the same thing.
Well, you know, because WrestleMania is free if you're a new subscriber, apparently. But it's
I heard that a couple of times.
God forbid people like me that pay the $10-$12 a month. But they, you know, I guess I made the assumption he's going to be there because, you know, especially the go home episode, they're going to have him come out. At that point, could you imagine if there was somebody who's on the fence about getting WrestleMania and being like, well, maybe not? He'll probably make an appearance, and I don't know if they're going to have an impromptu match or it's going to be short or. I don't know what's going to go on. I mean, it's, you know, I feel like Undertaker the last several years has been kind of like back when Brett Favre was with the Packers, where it was like, is he going to retire this year? Is he going to retire this year? Oh. Is he going to retire this year? And I think I've seen two or three retirements by The Undertaker. And, I don't know. And then this whole weird thing about Cena's going to be a fan and he's happy about it, I'm like, oh, you keep telling yourself that, buddy. But, There's some, you know, I'm assuming he's going to make an appearance at WrestleMania, but I don't know if it's going to be a match or what's going to go down.
No, that's exactly where I am. I think that with him putting his gear down in the ring last year after losing to Roman Reigns, that was sort of the official retire without saying retirement, so that if he did come back against Cena, if he did announce it beforehand, it would be like, okay, well, what the fuck was last year? What was putting the gear down in the ring? What was that all about? So I think that's his way of sort of playing it halfway, that he's not going to have an official announcement that I'm back and I'm wrestling Cena, but that Cena will be in the ring talking about being a fan and being all happy. And then the lights will go out and Taker will show up and they may have a little bit of a fight, but I don't know if a referee is going to be involved or not. I think it might be one of those sort of unsanctioned type matches, because if it's a sanctioned match, then Taker will be sort of going back on his retirement from last year. So yeah, I think that's what's going to happen.
Why would you build this up at all if he's not going to be there?
Exactly.
Wow. Why are we even wasting our time on this? If there's not going to be, and then even if there, let's say there's a massive match, let's say it's the last match, it's huge. Well, there's nothing to sell. Like that would be a selling point. And so, yeah, I'm lost on what, obviously it was for all for naught, but yeah, what was the point? I was wasted. They could have had other guys promoting their match.
Yeah.
The time that was being used for this.
Yeah,
they can
I
do
think
it on the kickoff show.
Because
did you hear, if you get WrestleMania for free, you also can watch the kickoff show?
Oh, man, Jason. Did you have plans to go watch WrestleMania somewhere this year? Because
I actually am off work. Sunday, obviously, you know, I'll be down in Chicago this weekend for our baseball draft. But you won't be there this year, so it's also my wife is going to be out of town the same weekend, so my kids are going to be at the grandparents. So I've sort of committed myself to coming back home Saturday late after the draft, which means I'll be home. I was originally going to be off Sunday because I figured I'd still be down in Chicago, but I'm going to be back. So I'll be home on Sunday, and I do have a friend who typically will have WrestleMania going at his place. So there's a chance, my wife is home, that I may go sneak over there and watch the show. Basically more for the free food and beer.
Sure. Well, if you were trying to catch the entire thing from beginning to end, including the pregame show, you would have to carve out pretty much half your day.
I saw that. And I'm not doing it.
It's going to start at like 4 p.m. Central Time, the kickoff show. The main show starts at 6. It won't end till maybe past 11. That's a lot of wrestling. And that's
the fans, you can see the fans are affected by it too. Like, it's hard to be on the edge of your seat the whole time.
Or even sunk down in the seat, because eventually your ass turns numb. That's too long to be sitting there. God.
So we're almost an hour into the show, and I have to say, I do believe that this is the first one of these shows that we've done where one of the three of us has not yet uttered the word underwhelming. So am I taking away from that there's a little more pop in this card than we've been making fun of in years past? Because I don't sense the malaise that a couple of these shows that I know that we've done have just been like, well, what the hell are we going to talk about for an hour, 90 minutes, because it's just like the same thing again. But I haven't caught that sense quite yet, or is it just assumed at this point?
Well, for me, you know, watching wrestling for a long time, I'm excited about AJ Styles and Nakamura. I think that could be the match of the night. The Ronda Rousey, Kurt Angle, even though I was berating her, I still think that will be interesting, if not just for Triple H and Stephanie's entrance. Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon. I love Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I think that'll be exciting to watch. Charlotte Flair and Asuka could be the match that steals the show. I sent a broken nose because Asuka can be stiff. I think Finn Balor and Seth Rollins are going to put on a clinic. I'm going to watch WrestleMania just to watch Bobby Roode's entrance. I don't know how the United States title match is going to go. And there's four or five matches I'm pretty excited about that as a casual fan, you'll be like AJ who or Shinsuke Nakamura, and you'll be like, God bless you. But they, some people aren't going to know these names. But, everybody's talking about Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. That's the least of my personal concerns. There are some exciting matches on the card that I really can't wait to see.
I agree with Jerry.
So that
I'm actually looking forward to most of the matches.
That's better than before. And I actually do know who AJ Styles is. And I only know who Nakamura is because of you guys talking about him on the previous shows. I've never actually seen him wrestle, but I do remember some previous shows though where you were talking about the talent that needed to get pushed up, and some of it is slowly starting to trickle in from what I'm seeing on the card here. Like the guys that you guys were talking about that needed a little more shine are starting to slowly get it.
Well, it's not necessarily shine. These guys like Nakamura is already talented, and he has already headlined some huge shows all over the world. And, to kind of get it where WWE, if you kind of wrestle their style or whatever they want to adjust you to. Nakamura started in NXT a year ago where AJ Styles went right to the main. He actually he debuted in the Rumble. Was it 2 years ago now?
That's right, 2016, because it was right before that. If you remember at Wrestle Kingdom 10, it was Styles versus Nakamura for the Japanese Intercontinental title, and they had a hell of a match.
Yeah, and AJ Styles, I think he's 40.
And he's
putting on, he's unbelievable. So it's, there's a lot of names that are attached to independent wrestling, Japanese, and you're looking at lots of names that came up and coming that eventually came through NXT. They already were kind of made for the name for themselves throughout the United States, and then they got all these names came through NXT where I started to notice them. And it's exciting to see so many people kind of at the big show now.
Yeah, not the big
okay,
show.
Okay, so I'm definitely sensing excitement from you two. And that's the first time, I think, that since we've been doing these shows. So now you got me excited.
Well, and the Royal Rumble is my favorite. Right, right after WrestleMania is the Royal Rumble. And the last several years, I get disappointed. And then the last two in the ring was Nakamura and Roman Reigns. And right away, I'm like, son of a gun, you're going to do it again. And I don't want to see this guy win. And when they had Nakamura won, the hair on my arms was standing up, and there was a tear in my eye for that guy. It'd be like, thank God they're giving him a chance to have a championship match at WrestleMania. Unfortunately, he won't be going on last. But Shinsuke Nakamura is so, so, so talented. So is AJ Styles. I'm just excited. That's gonna be the match I can't wait for. And I hope on the show. I hope they get a nice prominent spot on the card.
Yeah, I hope so too. I can't imagine they're gonna have them right at the top. I think they'll let them wait. They're gonna space out those two title matches, the SmackDown title and the Universal title. So it will be like third or fourth or something like that. It won't be next to the main event, but yeah, it's going to be gangbusters because those two not only can go with anyone else, but we've seen them go with each other a couple of years ago, and that was a hell of a fight. And I expect something similar, not exactly the same because they are a couple of years older, but they have to give them 20-25 minutes, and I think they can go pretty much all out for all 20-25 minutes and really put on a hell of a match. So yeah, I'm excited to see a lot of these confrontations. They're doing a better job of giving the guys a chance that I guess we think deserve more of a chance. So it's hard not to be excited when you see guys getting rewarded for working so hard throughout all these years.
I agree.
I'm just reading the room here.
And did anything else stand out about the Raw tonight besides the women and the Slowbos and all of that?
No, I mean, and the interviewing skills,
quote unquote skills.
Bayley and Sasha Banks, the best match I've seen in one of the best matches in 10 years was at an NXT TakeOver, which is like their big pay-per-view. Yeah. With Sasha Banks and Bayley for the title. It was a great build-up storyline. That's a match I've watched 6 or 7 times. My wife's watched it. She liked it so much that when NXT came to Green Bay, we went to go see NXT, and it was so unbelievable. And to see Bayley and Sasha kind of getting at it, I think they're going to be in the Battle Royal, and they're right. Probably going to be the Battle Royal. You know, the two of them will be the story. I just, what I really want to see is, I just think that'd be a great, have Lightning strike twice and have it where it's a championship match at WrestleMania, the two of them. I was always hoping to see someday, and I just hope they don't ruin it with month after month pay-per-views, and then a year later, we've already seen that. I need that like I need John Cena and Randy Orton to wrestle again.
Oh, God. No, I agree, but I think that might be about what we're going to get because I think they're sort of reserving the top of the women's card for the next at least half a year. I think they're clearing out room for Asuka and I think Ronda Rousey. This is one of my bold predictions that they didn't keep Asuka undefeated all this time just to job out the Charlotte Flair. So I think Asuka's going to beat Charlotte and win the SmackDown title at WrestleMania. And it's like, where do you go from here? I really think the only place they're going to go from there is Asuka and her undefeated streak against Ronda Rousey, the baddest woman on the planet. Maybe for this coming SummerSlam, I think Asuka's going to wind up jobbing out to Ronda Rousey eventually at SummerSlam, or if not there at next year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, of course, we haven't seen what Ronda Rousey is going to look like in the ring. I mean, as far as her skill, we'll see. But, it could be a great match. But Sasha Banks and Bayley, to me, that is, those two just, they probably wrestled hundreds of times. And they just put on a great show. Charlotte Flair and Sasha Banks also, when they were wrestling last summer, it was scary to watch because they would take. It's so funny when the guys take all these risks, they get excited, and when the women take these risks and potentially get injured, it freaks me out. It's probably totally chauvinistic, but I'm like, oh, I don't want to see them get hurt.
No, I'm with you. I don't want to see Charlotte Flair do moonsaults off the top rope under the floors. Like, you're just trying to break your leg doing that, sweetie. Don't do that, please.
Oh yeah, there was that move with Sasha Banks and her in a Hell in a Cell where her neck. Oh. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. No, you don't want them to end up like Paige, who just takes one shot to the back of the head and now she can't wrestle like ever again. She's on the Daniel Bryan program now where the doctors won't clear her.
Yeah, I think it was a house show and I saw the video footage where she just didn't expect the knees to the back, but it didn't look too hard. She just didn't expect it and it was enough to give her a stinger.
Yep, went down, couldn't move, and hasn't been cleared since. But the only other thing we saw on tonight's show was a little bit of the buildup for the tag team title match with the Bar against Braun Strowman and his twin brother Brain. Obviously, that's not going to be what happens at WrestleMania. I don't know who the mystery partner is going to be, but I like the whole mystery partner angle because that means it could be anybody. And that's one thing you definitely always look forward to at WrestleMania is surprises. Guys you don't expect showing up. Last year was the Hardy Boys just blowing the roof off the place and winning the tag titles in the ladder match. So Braun's partner could be anybody. It could be returning Samoa Joe. I've been reading that Rey Mysterio's been negotiating to come back and do a one-off. It might be him. Could be anybody. So I'm actually excited to see that.
Yeah, last WrestleMania, they kept the Hardy Boys so secret, nobody knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, I'm pulling for the Honky Tonk Man myself, but I
wow.
I'm feeling it's going to be, if I'm going to throw one from left field, I'm going
to
go.
I was about to say, is that based on anything or just a personal preference? Okay. Is that a left field?
Yeah, Honky Tonk Man.
Nobody will ever forget it if he comes out. Like, that guy called it. No, it's going to be, I thought Samoa Joe's return, I mean, he was my favorite. And when he went down with the, I think he had plantar fasciitis where he actually ruptured his, the crystals on that form in the bottom of your foot. And that sounds painful. And then I heard about Rey Mysterio and part of me is like, what about Goldberg coming out? And it's just like he's in the Hall of Fame coming out for to help polish things off. I don't know what they'll do, but my secretly hope for Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too. If Honky Tonk Man comes out, we're retiring predictions forever because you will be the ultimate prediction champion, and I'll never do another wrestling prediction again.
Yeah, we've nailed some good stuff on these shows, but that would be the one.
That would be the all-timer.
I don't think he's in the good graces of the WWE, so I don't think that's
right.
Beyond a long shot. But anyways,
he's not in shape either.
Who do you think's gonna blank? I'm like the Honky Tonk Man. As a kid, he was the greatest heel when I was a kid. He was the greatest heel.
Yeah,
I remember
watching the Honky Tonk Man. Oh man, that's why it was such a blast hearing that. Oh my, it's something you've totally forgot about, and it's like, oh, okay.
That would be a blast. The WrestleMania card weekend. What I wanted to ask you about, Jerry, was the everything surrounding now WrestleMania week, as far as all the other independent companies going down to whatever town WrestleMania happens to be in, they take over that town for the entire week leading up to WrestleMania. I think that is so awesome. One day when my wife comes to her senses and divorces me and I can do whatever I want as a single person, I'm going to go down to WrestleMania weekend and spend the entire week down there watching all these different independent shows. It's incredible. And then NXT, now the tradition of the night before WrestleMania, when they sort of get you really revved up for WrestleMania, all the other indie shows do their thing, and then NXT comes and sort of brings the house down. So as much as I'm looking forward to WrestleMania, I'm really looking forward to the NXT show, especially that ladder match for the North American Championship, because I don't know who to pick in that one. I can't decide between EC3 or Ricochet or sort of rewarding Velveteen Dream for the year that he had, because he had a hell of a year last year. I don't know who's going to win that thing, but that promises to be a hell of a show too. But that whole week,
well,
WrestleMania week is incredible.
As far as elevating all those guys, they're all going to win. Doesn't matter who wins the match, but they could all come out of that thing looking like $1 million. They could.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I got the green light a couple of years ago that if WrestleMania ever came back to Chicago, or if it ever went to the new U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, that I got the green light to go to WrestleMania. So I would definitely look at getting NXT in the Hall of Fame and the whole shebang. And plus, seeing, I'm a big fan of the show, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah.
That show really took off, and they usually have been doing live shows in WrestleMania towns too. So I'd love to. They're pretty entertaining. I'd love to see them in town.
I think you're gonna get your wish 2020 or 2021. I think it's gonna be up there at the new stadium in Minnesota. I may have to make a pilgrimage up for that. If you're going to be there, I think I might have to make a trip as well. So I'll have to greasing the wheel now and then talking to the wife now, right?
Yeah. Well, that's about a Disney World vacation last I priced it.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. It can. But it can get up there with you getting the hotel package and everything. But I would it'll be... It's become, I mean, people are bidding and paying to get WrestleMania now. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to see how far it came from. There was a show that they did in a tennis court over in Vegas it was a tennis court they converted to look like a Roman Coliseum for WrestleMania. Was it 9?
That's right.
You know, and to see this, you know, even the Trump Plaza was a quite a small venue from WrestleMania 3, and now that they won't even consider Madison Square Garden anymore. I mean, it's all these massive stadiums. I thought next year they're going back to New York to the MetLife Stadium, mm-hmm. which to me that is the biggest crapshoot in the world. Especially like me and Jason standing in like a foot of snow. That they,
yeah.
New York can easily get this weather, where I've actually seen on a show, they were showing the ring they're using for WrestleMania that year, where they actually had slots cut into the ring posts that are blowing. They actually had a furnace under there blowing heat, so the ring was like 70 degrees.
Yeah, because that stadium's not a dome, so yeah, that could be a disaster, quite frankly.
I couldn't imagine. Yeah, well, they just do it at Lambeau Field.
Minnesota's going to be interesting just getting around if it's a week, you know, like the weather that they're having right now. But at least it's a dome stadium.
But Minnesota, Minneapolis, I mean, of all the places I've ever been, I don't know if I've ever been in a city that handles bad weather as good as the Twin Cities does. I mean, better even than Chicago. I can remember being in Minneapolis for some big snowstorms, and they just acted like, "Meh, no big deal." It's like they do it pretty frequently.
They got a lot less ground to cover in Chicago, so it's a little easier that way. But yeah, I'll agree with that. I remember the times being up in Minnesota for there's another name who shall not be named, but I used to spend quite a bit of time up there, and yeah, they really do look at it as like, okay, whatever. God, the first night I went to, I flew to Minneapolis. I think when I left Chicago on the plane, it was like in the mid 40s. And when we landed, it was like 9 degrees. And it was like, what the hell just happened? And it was no big deal to all of them. They were like, okay, whatever. It's what we do. And digging out cars the next morning, snow everywhere. Okay, give me the brush. Here we go. Let's just take care of it. It's definitely not that big a deal to them. So yeah, I was just reading, I think just either today or yesterday, Jerry, that I think WWE is going to a game, to a Vikings game in Minnesota this coming October, with the express purpose of talking about 20 or 21 getting WrestleMania up in there. So I think it's coming.
Yeah, I would definitely. I have a connection with somebody that lives in Hudson, Wisconsin, which is literally like a half hour away. A lot of people work in the Twin Cities and commute to Hudson. Because if I could eliminate the hotel stay, that would save you a lot of money.
That's huge. If you can find the accommodation, that is absolutely huge. I would love it if it came to Chicago, because I know I would have accommodations, but it's not coming to Chicago because they don't have the big venue, the 70,000 seat dome stadium.
Yeah, where would they do it if they would ever go to Chicago? There isn't anywhere. They do it at the Horizon.
The Rosemont, I think it's the American Airlines or the Allstate Arena. They won't use that anymore. It's too sad.
No, venue. Right. They've done
it's
WrestleMania
the
there,
it's
but
the
they. Yeah, for old people,
we don't call
it Horizon, but it's,
we don't call
they maxed out at like
Arena or
15,000.
Yeah, Willis Tower. Yeah, we call it the Sears Tower.
That's Sears Tower. Nope.
And we call it the Rosemont Horizon.
Yeah. We're old.
Well,
we
I love how WWE refused to call last year's WrestleMania Camping World Stadium. They refused to call it that. Remember that?
Yeah.
Refused. I think they'd have a hard time with the Little Caesars Stadium as well.
They're like, hey, if they don't pay us to call it that, we're not going to call it that because it just sounds stupid. And you know
yeah,
what?
They should have just called it. They should have called it the Pink Taco.
No, we talked about that. We can't call stadiums the Pink Taco. Well, that's just not cool. We can't do it. I'm sorry.
All right,
Jerry. One more thing about the speaking of Chicago, of course. The Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes and everybody going all in for that show coming up in around Halloween weekend or something like that, October 31st. Is that going to lead to more like indie success? Because that's a big stadium they're trying to fill with no WWE help, with no, I don't know if Ring of Honor eventually will be promoting it or talking about it on their airwaves. You would think they would probably give them some assistance, but basically it's Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks is basically their money that they're funding this whole thing, trying to fill a 10,000 seat stadium based on sort of a Twitter bet with Dave Meltzer. It's going to succeed in that it's going to be close to 10,000 just because of all the hype and everybody is going to be so excited to buy tickets when they finally put them on sale. Do you think that's going to lead to more cards like that, more success, or is that just sort of a one-off? Like this one thing, this one time in history is going to be the big thing because everyone has been leading up to it for so long, but that's going to be pretty much the end of it.
Well, I really hope it leads to more because I think Cody Rhodes is an example of a guy where he didn't like his spot in WWE. There was a time where you fought to move up the ladder, and I feel like they really pigeonhole people and you're a mid-card, this is where we need you. And he basically finally said, I'm not going to be Goldust's brother.
Stardust.
Stardust. I'm done. And not being afraid to walk away. How many guys are in WWE right now that are happy being on the opening card without even being on television? They're just happy to get a check every week. And I think what's happening is independent wrestling is really, I mean, I'm seeing videos on YouTube and stuff of shows where it's a good crowd. Not that something you'd see 10 years ago. And I think if they're in the right city and everything, I think it's the culmination of you get, you know, if the price is right on those tickets, I think they're going to do, I hope it leads to more of that where they can pop up. And, you know, the Young Bucks are a classic example of guys that didn't work for WWE. I don't know if they were in like maybe their developmental at one time, but they technically were never on the main roster, and they're probably the best tag team that's wrestling today and not wrestling a match in WWE. And to see that they're helping fund to kind of basically do their own show. And then Cody Rhodes to basically stick it to the show that, hey, I got something here and you know, I can draw. I'm just so proud of them. And I would love, I'd hope to see this get around with others, with other wrestlers that maybe aren't happy with where they're at and decide maybe I'm going to step outside my comfort zone and try this. And I think it's great for the wrestling community. It's great, and I think WWE's got to understand it would be good for them too.
Sure. So all these guys that are going to get that exposure and make pro wrestling more popular in general and make themselves available to maybe get hired by WWE, and they can use some of that capital, and it's all going to go hand in hand. Yeah, I agree with you. I hope that it leads to sort of an indie mania, if you will, sort of a one card a year that's like the big 10,000 seat stadium that's going to try to fill. They're putting this, Jason, at the that place out in Hoffman Estates, the Sears Center that they built within the last 10 years or so. They're going to try to. Yeah, it's a perfect location as far as right near the airports and easy to very accessible for all these guys to fly in and hit that stadium and fly right back out. And it's interesting. They're going to try to fill the stadium with no help from WWE at all. It's completely independent of them. And they got a shot to do it because people really want to see a different product. The people that are so sick of Roman Reigns getting shoved down their throat every week like this, they want to see something else. And these guys put on great shows. They've been putting on great shows, and it's going to be something where like all of the top independent guys, all the guys around the country that don't work for WWE, and they're going to even fly in some people from Japan as well. They're all going to be at this show. And I hope that's going to be something like every year, like all like a big gathering of all the top independent guys at a show like this. That it takes a lot to fund something like that. You got to rent the stadium out, which takes a shit ton of money. You got to get the date that you want. The promotion, everything is expensive, and it's all coming out of their pockets, really. And it is awesome to see, and it is pretty inspiring. It feels like there's another sort of wrestling boom starting, you know, right around now. That when you think about New Japan going over to California and running all these shows and selling out all these arenas over there, and now they're going to go to the Cow Palace in San Francisco, which is a pretty big venue. There's a lot going on right now, so I hope it keeps going, and I hope everybody sort of keeps their nose dry as well, because I think the one thing that could break up all of this is if somebody sort of falls off the wagon that's up there at the top of one of these cards and does something, you know, gets arrested or, you know, drunk driving or does something really bad. So hopefully everybody is in step with each other and is on the straight and narrow. And I think there's a lot going on right now, and I hope they don't mess it up.
Definitely. I mean, just this last weekend, Wisconsin has an independent wrestling scene that's kind of more based on like Appleton, Green Bay area, and they had an event recently this last weekend. I think Hornswoggle is part owner of that. And they, I was watching some video, and I was like, wow, that's actually a good sized crowd. I mean, they're like in a gymnasium setting, but it wasn't the infamous gymnasium setting with 100 chairs and 10 people watching. It was,
yeah,
you know, it was quite impressive. It wasn't sold out, but I was very impressed to see the crowd. And there wasn't a recognizable household name on the card, and that many people came out to see it. And that just shows that, you know, the independent scene is alive and well.
It is. It's all over the country, and huge independent cards. Like you said, usually the 50 or 100 is turning into more like 200, 400, 700 for a lot of these shows. So I think it's really booming, and it's only going to get better. So anything else about WrestleMania weekend coming up that we didn't cover? We got all the many different title matches. We got a new title introduced in NXT. The NXT title, of course, is on the line. Aleister Black, I'm a pretty big fan of his, the former Tommy End. You think he's going to go over and take the NXT title from, I almost called him Alberto, Andrade Cien Almas.
Yeah, I'm actually glad that CN's care. I mean, when he first came in, I mean, the feather in the hat and the suspenders, I'm like, as a wrestler, he was great, but his character was terrible, and they tweaked it to where I think he's great. But I think it's time to, you know, this is going to be a big show, time to pass the title on. And I saw the match with him and Velveteen Dream, Aleister Black. It was a great match. And that was the first time seeing Aleister Black. So I was really, really impressed. And I'm excited to see that. I think they're going to put on, I think their wrestling styles are going to mesh well, I think.
Yeah, I do. They've got Andrade Cien Almas doing this routine where he's sort of distracted and wasn't really focused and wasn't really 100%. He was more of the party playboy, ladies man type guy. And then they brought in Selena Vega to keep him focused. And now he's got a more of a mean streak and more of an attitude, and he wound up winning the NXT title with that mean streak. So yeah, not only his character, but his in-ring style is better for a main event type of a situation like this with Aleister Black, who's, you know, just straightforward, kick your ass, put a foot in your face. Yeah, it's going to be pretty good. It's got the makings to be very good, depending on what they want to do in that match. But yeah, Aleister Black is ready to go over and sort of be the torchbearer for NXT going into the summer. So I fully expect him to win, and yeah, it should be a real good one.
Yeah. Oh, I just figured out who Braun Strowman's partner is going to be. I just thought of it.
Not the Honky Tonk Man?
No, I'm gonna pass on the Honky Tonk Man now. It's going to be what's his name? So there was the little guy that got let go. He was the realest guy in the room. And then there was the...
oh, God, Enzo?
Not Enzo, but Big Cass. Big Cass is...
Oh,
injured,
okay.
And we have not seen him, and I'm wondering if he's going to make a comeback at WrestleMania.
Ah. Okay, now that's a call then.
Enzo got let go, so I'm going to call... Yeah. I might call on him. Because that would be one where we have not seen hide nor hair of him in a while.
Okay, Big Cass. That's an interesting call. We have not seen him, and he might be about ready to come back. So there you go. Jerry's on record. Not the Honky Tonk Man.
Now it's going to be the Honky Tonk Man.
If it's the Honky Tonk Man, I'm still going to claim credit for it. Yeah, with Big Cass, they got to get him established. You know, they like his size. He's no longer with Enzo. To have it where, like, you got these two big guys and eventually have the two guys go against each other, it could be great down the road.
There you have it. And the main event of Brock and Roman, any prediction on what's going to happen there? They can't just go with Roman going over straight, can they?
I really don't think the crowd's good. It's that international wrestling community that's going to show up, and they're going to boo it out of the building. It will be really interesting if you called it and Paul Heyman turns, because now when the crowd boos, it's actually a good thing.
Exactly.
So I would like to see that. And I don't know if his merchandise sales are strong and that's why they don't turn him, but I think it's time. I think it's definitely, you know, that's the best thing for him, is to turn him heel. I'm just hoping that's not the last match, but the way they portrayed it tonight on Raw and everything, it looks like that's going to be the main event.
Well, we'll certainly see what happens in that. I don't want to take full credit for that prediction. Like I said, I've seen other guys write about it and say that seems to be the next logical move, but yeah, I think it's time for something different. It's definitely time for it, because Roman Reigns as the top babyface guy, I don't think that's ever going to happen. So we'll see what they decide to do with that. All right, Jerry, I've had you on for 90 minutes, so I'm going to let you go. Once again, great fun as always. Always have a great time previewing WrestleMania and talking about wrestling in general and the booming wrestling scene right now. Great conversation. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Jerry. Right.
Jerry, the wrestling expert, once again, breaking down the upcoming WrestleMania show. And Jay, I think you agree with me that they can't do the same. They cannot have Brock Lesnar just go down like a little bitch to Roman Reigns after all of this. They can't have Seth Rollins run in with the briefcase like you said 5 years ago, but they're going to have to do something different.
Yeah, I don't have any bold prediction like I had that time, you know, and I didn't
took
pull
your bold
the
prediction.
Angle. Yeah, well, you know, they listen to, obviously someone's listening to this show. They're like, well, you know what, we got to blow that up. So we can't even have mm-hmm. that be an option. I believe you were telling me that the guy who had the money in the bank just like completely just squandered it. Like,
that's right. It was Baron Corbin and he
cashed it in and lost, I believe.
And lost. That's right.
So no,
there is no money in the bank.
Yeah. When you pull the move after the WrestleMania main event to put the guy over and then get him, you know, get him the win, you can't go to that well too many times. You can just keep having the same guys fight each other, though.
Well, you can't have
that's
that,
okay.
Unfortunately. Over and over again. And the same thing as 5 years ago where they refused to let Roman take the microphone and really do too much. It was so hilarious. He said one line when he went out there and talking about, you guys aren't going to let the part-timer, you guys aren't going to protect the part-timer, are you?
And
that's
he
all he
the
said.
Just
and
all
it makes
him stand there and look at each other and go, the one guy pretends like he's whispering to the other. And like, oh, I guess you made such a compelling argument, sir.
That one
right this way.
Roman is in the wrong profession. If he can change minds with one sentence like that, he needs to be
there's
an attorney.
So much, they had so much respect for him.
Oh,
or they have a lack of respect, you know, for Brock Lesnar or something. Because those are the guys who were out there. Basically, it looked like it was a whole group of jobbers standing out there.
Right. Yeah, you didn't see Cena out there, of course.
Yeah, I would have preferred to have Roman Reigns just, like, do, like, the human bowling ball through those guys or just beat the crap out of all of them
not
even go to the ring. Yeah, if you just would have trashed all the dudes as the protection and then just, like, stood there with all the guys laying there rolling, you know, holding their faces and then just points at the sign and walks away, I think that would have been a little bit more impactful. Like, wow, hey, look, Brock, I can beat all these jobbers. You're next.
I love it. Jason, the wrestling booker now. You're writing the scripts and everything.
Call me. Vince, call me.
What else was on your mind for this evening? Were we about to pretty much call it a night?
Yeah, it's midnight. I mean, it's actually after midnight, so it's a long night. I'm wrestled out. You know, we already knew 5 hours ago that school was canceled tomorrow, so I'm basically having to use a day off of work. So I get to be daddy daycare tomorrow. So I need to get some sleep. I got to prepare myself for a day of children running all over the house and all over me and wanting to go outside and play in snow. And, you know, yeah, it's going to be a busy day around here for me tomorrow. I need my sleep.
They're going to be up
I got a trip to Chicago coming up. I got a trip to Chicago coming up in, you know, three, four more days here. And I'll probably be giving you a call some point this week. We'll do our little strategery session and figure to put the final plan in place that will blow up as soon as the first player gets nominated.
So that'll probably be our next podcast would be, you know, a couple of weeks from now or something like that, where you talk about the draft, the Chicago trip, and we talk a little, maybe a little baseball. There'll be a few weeks into the season.
Yeah, this is probably the official end of the scripted shows for a while. So we really go non sequitur here for a while now.
Well, for a month.
Oh,
and then
the draft.
The NFL draft. That's right.
The draft will be coming up, but that's sort of our little island of football in the off season. And we'll probably have a couple of shows before then for sure. So yeah, we'll set up a show here in the next, you know, 10, 14 days and try to get back to doing some semi-regular shows.
All right. Sounds good.
He is Dre.
Do you have homework? Okay. You have homework.
I have homework.
Yeah.
Getting ready for the draft show, or getting ready for your draft.
Get that intro updated.
Oh God! You,
it
you,
really
you
stood out. This was the first. This was the first time it really stood out. We've been away from football now for a couple months, but today's show, I'm sitting here and I'm listening. I'm like, okay, we got Jerry on the line, and you know, where we give you your NFL breaks. I was like, oh, it was a little cringy. I think is the new popular word.
It struck me too. I was like, no, this really isn't the NFL breakdown here.
Yeah, and again, though, we did the baseball preview, and we did the March Band, yeah. And we did all these other shows that didn't bother me. And then tonight, I was sitting here, and I'm really getting into it, and I'm getting ready for the show, and I'm like,
Yeah, we'll have to do something about that. Yeah, please text and remind me to do a new intro.
Yeah, I'll just text you and fix the damn intro.
Yeah. All right, yeah. And you know what? I'm off next week. The time that I would be using to go to Chicago, I'm still going to take that vacation time. So I'll be sitting around. I'll certainly have the time to do it.
I will be, you know, definitely miss having you there. I always appreciate the help and, you know, and the getting together. And it'll be – but I've done it enough – alone that I'm not worried, and you know, I mean, I've streamed it down so much, so, but it's just, you know, it's just not the same just having that experience for him. It's something we can't really describe. It's indescribable, the what we call the greatest now greatest morning in sports. But I'm always excited for it. Baseball's been back. It counts, you know. I got the guys I kept, and I'm watching how they're doing. And you know, you're watching those guys who you really like, sort of those sleeper guys. You want them to do good, but not, don't do too good. we had Giancarlo Stanton, what, two bombs on opening day. He's been quiet since then, but, you know, you start the season off that way, and that's the big guy coming into our league from, you know, we're just texting each other. Oh, there goes his deal. He's another $10 for Giancarlo Stanton now.
Mm-hmm. So,
it'll be fun. It'll be fun, and I'm sure I'll have a full report. I'm doing a breezy trip this time, driving down Friday and back on Saturday.
Zip, zam, and right back out of there. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'll give you the old update on who we get and what happened, and it'll be something. I'm ready.
Yeah, it's always something. It's always fun. I'll definitely miss all the guys this time around, and certainly plan
to miss the pizza.
He plan to be back there next year. Oh, and always.
And you missed the I'll text you a picture of it.
The Lou Malnati's. Can't be the Lou Malnati's.
I'll text you a picture. That's good. Just send you a nice picture of the spread. And then also when we make breakfast great again, right before that.
Well, were you I was about to say, were you and Loser going to Grandma Sally's? But no, you guys go to that place over near the draft as sort of the new hangout.
Well, yeah, because it's like literally what, 5 minutes from
right
where we have the draft up there in Skokie, I believe it's in now. Those northern suburbs all just kind of blend together, but I believe it's officially in Skokie. Or one
either
of those.
The places in Skokie and the restaurants technically in Lincolnwood or vice versa. One of
it's
those.
One but, or yeah, the it's, other. Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, Lincolnwood
really
kind
like
of
five,
blends into Skokie, yeah.
Like 5 blocks away from the draft place.
Right, and maybe 20, 25 minutes away from where I stay at the hotel, and then we'll get done with the draft, figure out, you know, and that's usually done by 2:30, 3 o'clock, and then it'll be a 4 or 5 hour ride home, and yeah, I'll be home Sunday, and then I may do WrestleMania. I may drop a line to my friend and be like, "Hey, are you guys watching WrestleMania this year? You know, I've heard it might be a good one."
All the matches should be pretty good. If you see 20 people in the ring, that's one of the two battle. There's a men's battle royal and there's a women's battle royal.
Well,
you can skip
those. I know what a battle royal is.
All right. I'm just saying if you see a whole bunch of guys, and it's not a big 10-man tag team match or anything. It's the battle royals. You can skip that.
Oh, yeah. Well, those usually are pretty lame at the beginning anyways, because it's just a bunch of people getting... And it's really poorly acted.
Yes.
Some of the people looks like they're letting themselves over the top rope. Like, yeah, let me help you.
I'll show myself out now.
I got a plane to catch.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Way to get everybody on the payroll. So.
I don't even know if I want to try outro music, if it'll even play.
Oh, I'll give it a shot. I'll try the newest song that I uploaded. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of a much less detailed podcast. Hope you enjoyed your WrestleMania preview. Enjoy WrestleMania this coming Sunday and all of the different wrestling events before that leading up to WrestleMania. And we will talk to you probably in a couple of weeks. We'll be right back.